My new one.
I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. Yeah, I like to move it.
Because freedom and liberty are not a spectator sport. We welcome you to Movers and Shakers with Stacy Ann, broadcasting and webcasting and defending liberty guaranteed by our Constitution. And now here's Stacy Ann.
Good morning, liberty-loving friends. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. Glad to be with you on this Saturday, and it sure feels like fall. And I have heard in good report that there's been rain and colors are starting to change. I'm still in the beautiful Black Hills of South Dakota, and boy, the colors have peaked. Now they're starting to, the leaves off the tree are starting to blow away. And my mom and dad and I enjoyed watching the birds kind of store up this morning, the seeds that they have on the feeder on the front porch. And I just love fall. It's one of my favorite seasons, and maybe it's your favorite season too, but every day is an opportunity to embrace life and enjoy this wonderful, wonderful life that we've been given. And again, as the introduction said, you know, liberty and freedom is not a spectator sport. We're working together, you and I, to indicate that we are making a difference. And I want to share with you that you are making a difference. And on a national scale, we're seeing on the mainstream media all kinds of things that are affecting our day-to-day life. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting emails, I'm getting text messages going, what can I do, Stacy? I know that you're kind of knowing what's going on. Where can I be helpful? How can I make a difference? I'm overwhelmed. Please pray for me. I'm getting a lot of those messages, and I love it. Keep sending them. That's what we are better together, and that's what it's all about. We think the hokey pokey is what it's all about. It really isn't. It's about supporting one another and encouraging one another. And I don't know, maybe you heard this. I shared it on our Facebook page at KSLM. But you remember Texas, brave Texas, the legislature there and the governor there signed a law protecting unborn children in Texas. And then some wild horse of a federal judge put it on hold, right? Well, guess what? The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals reversed that. So now children are still protected in Texas as this moves along up to the court, maybe even up to the Supreme Court. So that was news that really interests me. And then someone sent me a clip. I don't know if you caught this or not, and I'll share this as well at the KSLM Facebook page. But there's a mayor in Ohio. Parents had brought before the school board this very explicit assignment that children had to do in class. And believe me, the parents were reading from the assignment. And I was like, whoa, this was kids. They had to do these things. I'll put the clip on the Facebook page. You can check it out for yourself. But the mayor sat there and he said, look, you all on this school board who approved this curriculum, you need to resign, or I'm going to charge you with child pornography. And it's these bold local people. And is it any surprise that at the federal level, now they're trying to insult local school board parents interacting with their children? It just, where is the common sense? It's just like out the door. But here's some good news. Remember last week we had the funeral director, our friend Dean, on talking about how out of his whole corporation, his mom and pop shop of a funeral home had been bought out by a corporation. And out of all of these numbers of folks that work for this corporation, only a couple people applied for a religious exemption so they didn't have to get the jab. Just got word the other day, 2 days ago, I believe, that Dean was approved for his exemption. And I'm so glad to hear that, because he's going to be needed. He's needed. His ministry is right there in the trenches when people are walking through loss. So those are little updates. I also want to mention before we get into our guest, and I'm so excited about getting into some things with our guest today, who is Amy Ryan Courser. I want to share a little bit, too. I talked to my friend Shannon, and her attorney and folks have been working against in a lawsuit about the whole mask mandate. Maybe you've heard me refer to Shannon before, but she has she has a medical condition and a mental, she cannot wear a mask. And so when these mask mandates came out, they appealed, they went into law. And basically what happened is that the court said, we just threw it out of the court because these mandates, these executive orders, are administrative rules, are not law. So the courts can't rule. And there's a wonderful article in Northwest Observer. I want you to go there, and I'm going to put a link as well on our Facebook page, northwestobserver.com, and look at this. And it's basically saying what we've known all along. There is no teeth to these big bullying tactics to tell us to do these things. And so that was encouraging to me. You want to share that with your friends and family, because I'm sure the mainstream media is not going to pick that up and cover it. So as we move forward, I want to remind you this great verse that Thomas Jefferson said in these words: a government big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take away everything you have, right? And so it's important that we get strategic people, people that are going to represent us at the local level, at the state level, at the national level, in our values and our desires, because when tough, bumpy times happen, we want to rely on them to make the tough decisions needed that's protecting our Constitution and our liberties. And over the last 2 years at KSLM, have had the privilege and the honor of interviewing this beautiful woman several times, and I'm glad to have her on the show because I think it's important that you hear from her today. Good morning to you, Amy. How are you today?
Good morning, Stacey Ann. Thank you so much for having me again. It's always such a treat to be with you.
Well, you know, I have been doing some travels, and I've been able to kind of keep updated on what's going on in the campaign world. And there's a lot of folks that don't really know where things are in redistricting, and there's been a lot of headlines, and there's still some confusion there. But regardless, you're moving ahead and you're campaigning, you're letting people know wherever those lines end up being, you're full-fledged ahead, and I'm so excited to hear that. Talk to us a little bit about what you've been doing, and my first question is, what do you think about the circus at the national level with this budget stuff?
Oh my gosh. There's so much to talk about. We don't even have time, but I appreciate the opportunity just to kind of share with where we're at in the campaign. And of course, my opinion, I think the voters need to know where your candidates stand so they know who to get behind, because we really will need the support to flip the House for sure. But although I feel really good about it, I think we're on the right track. So, first of all, campaigning at its best. We've been campaigning strong all year. We feel more passionate now about our purpose than we ever have. I'm currently pushing forward and doing campaign events, and fundraising, of course, is one of our number one goals right now, because as we unfold all of the redistricting and the lines, it's really important to be able, once we know where our districts actually are and exactly what we're doing, then of course I'm a grassroots campaign. So it'll be really important to hit the ground running and make sure that everyone knows what we're all about and be able to tell our story, which we really couldn't do in 2020 when I ran, and the pandemic really held back a lot of candidates in their ability to share their story and why they were the right candidate. So I'm looking forward to that.
And you had a good race with all those obstacles in your way of not being able to meet face-to-face, not having your typical, your county fairs and your state fair to get for people to see you and talk to them directly. I was so proud of the race that you ran, and it was pretty close given the fact that the incumbent had tons of money, and he's entrenched because he's part of the institution now, right? And here you are, the local gal, going for it. I was so proud of you, and it gives you momentum going ahead, doesn't it?
It does. I have so much momentum, and people are excited, and I have hundreds of volunteers who are committed to our cause and know where I stand, and I think that's really important. I'm honored to say that even though I didn't have, of course, the biggest budget to work with, people were so great in supporting me, and, you know, I received everything from prayers to $2 here and there and some bigger money, but really that's how we get our message out. And in a COVID campaign, which is what we had, you know, we took the truck out and threw the tailgate down and told everybody we're having coffee, and everybody sat outside and had coffee even in the rain and I think snow one day, and people just got to talk and be heard, and that was so important. And so we truly ran a grassroots campaign. I ran in the 5th District, of course, for Congress. I received more votes than any Republican has ever received in that race. So I was very honored to, and that's because I resonated with everyone. You know, boy, in Oregon, as you know, Oregon's Republicans sure don't outweigh our Democrats or our non-affiliated voters. So to be able to reach everyone was very important to me and an honor. And to receive those votes, I don't take lightly. And so we have that momentum moving forward. And I also, you know, I had my numbers and performance as far as outperforming even governor candidates in our district were strong. And so I just feel good, even though political process is so challenging right now, and there's so much to talk about there. I should write a book someday, I think. But yes. What's interesting to me is that it's such an ugly, divisive time. But the reality to me, Stacey, is that people are more engaged. And I'll tell you, I'm not shying away from the ugliness. As a matter of fact, it emboldens me that much more to go be a voice for Oregon and D.C.
And that's great to hear, because that's exactly, these tactics are to disengage people, make them frustrated and just give up. And friends, if you're feeling like you're so overwhelmed and you don't know what to do because the lines aren't drawn exactly and all of that, I am challenging you and imploring you to move ahead. File, if you're thinking a school district, if you're thinking a local county race or any of those, move ahead with what's on, even though you don't know. I think it's important that we keep the momentum, and when this all plays out, then we'll know what to move at the last minute. Get engaged in these campaigns. What kinds of things have you been doing already to meet people? Where have you been going? What kinds of events are you willing to do if someone has something going on in their community? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, I love meet and greets because my favorite part of campaigning is sitting and talking with the people. So we do a lot of meet and greets. If I'm invited to speak to different groups, that's always an honor as well. And anything we can do just to get the word out and ask people to share our message, especially with social media. But I want to kind of tap in on what you said, because not everybody wants to run for office, which even at that local level, like our school boards, look at what our school boards are going through. You can't blame anybody for not wanting to run in the future. Like, how do we protect them, especially with what they're going through? But I will tell you, it's equally important to just show up at the school boards and give those people who are your elected officials, who are like-minded, give them the support. And that engagement is equally important as actually running for school board. And so when we get those people on there, they need to feel our support and our engagement, and to know that they have they're sharing our voice as well. So showing up and being engaged is equally as important as running.
Yes, yes. And on your website, amyfororegon.com, I have it right here in front of me. You talk about champion, being a champion for Oregon and Oregonians, and that you're going to continue to talk about public safety and law and order. Talk to us a little bit why that's so important to you.
Well, boy, again, with the time restrictions, but, you know, as a young woman, I'm from the area, and, you know, we all go through our own story of what, you know, kind of creates us as the people that we are today. And, you know, there are some hardships out there in my life. I was a foster kid, and I was one who wasn't, you know, wasn't gifted a lot of great things when I was younger. So I had to work a little bit harder than kind of the majority, but I think that gave me an opportunity to pay a little bit more attention. So when I say being a champion, I want to be a voice for everyone, especially our youth and our humanitarian issues. So that's how I got involved, Stacey. But when you say public safety, that hits my heart number one. So I served as a Kaiser City counselor for 4 years. And I
We're going to go to break. Hold that thought. I want to get into your background, because I think it's important for people to know. And the time does go fast. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Movers and Shakers with Stacey Ann and Amy today. We'll be back right after this.
I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. You like to.
Returning now to more of Movers and Shakers with Stacey Ann.
Hello, liberty-loving friends. I'm Stacey Ann. Thank you for tuning in today. I want to say thank you to Capital Pawn for being a show sponsor. And I just want to encourage you, if you are looking for gold or silver, I encourage you, they know gold and silver, and I encourage you to stop on by. Go online, catpawn.com, stop on by, or give them a call at 503-385-1394. We're continuing the conversation this morning with Amy Ryan Courser, Amy for Oregon, running for Congress. And Amy, right before the break, we started talking a little bit about your background. We were talking about Champion, why you were felt the need to champion for Oregonians. Talk to us a little bit about your background and then the things that are really resonating, why Oregon needs good representation at the congressional level.
Sure. Thanks, Stacey. So I was a city councilor for 4 years and had a seat at the table where I was able to support and fund our law enforcement locally. I've always been an advocate of law enforcement, but I will tell you, as we progressed over the last couple of years and what we've seen unfold both in Portland and the ugliness and Antifa, there's never been a more important time to defend our law enforcement and order. But keeping America safe is my number one priority. So when you say, I love that word champion, when I'm championing for Oregon, you know, there's a lot of things that are so important to me, like law and order, I'm against government spending, increased taxes and inflation. And we're in such a horrible time right now. Boy, I think it's going downhill like a slow freight train in like an accident. It's hard to watch, but that's really important to me. And I would be a representative as your congresswoman to stand up and say, I am against that and I will not support that, including our socialist Marxist agenda here, both locally in our schools and across the nation. I think we have to push back from a federal level. I think that is a responsibility that federal has to hold people accountable. And of course, as we know, rejecting government mandates over regulation. We could probably talk for days about that as well. But, you know, when I was inspired, and I mentioned humanitarian issues, creating solutions for mental health, addictions, homelessness, those, you know, foster kids, those are all my heart. But at the same time, we have to have common sense in governing, and we have to have people push back against big pharma and prescriptions. We have to have people that are going to fight for our constitutional freedoms. And one more thing, Stacey, really, we have to have advocates for our vets, our seniors, the sanctity of life. And I know I'm saying so much in a quick time, but all of those things are so important and they deserve someone who's going to be a champion and fight for them, because you know, we have so many people on fixed incomes and lower incomes that are they're struggling right now with our increases in inflation, and we're really going to be in trouble come the spring, in my opinion.
Well, and just at the gas in the last, you know, 8 months, the gas tank alone, and let alone the cost of getting products, goods, and services, and the disruption in the supply line, all of those things, and people are, there's confusion. And then when they attend the meetings on redistricting, and they think that they're going to have some say, or we're told they're going to have a seat at the table or some say, even at the state level, that affects not only our state representation, but now our congressional representation. What do you say to our friends, our listeners, our supporters, our potential supporters? What can they do? What kind of optimism is there for them? Or what are you saying to them?
Well, you know, there's a lot of frustration, and I hear it every day, and I think everyone feels the same way. But I was inspired through our redistricting process that we did have over 9,000 pieces of public testimony submitted. People were engaged. We had over 22 hearings. The sad thing is it really didn't get applied, because I think there are a lot of people don't understand the redistricting, but really it's a civic duty for checks and balances. And I want to create more trust and hope, have people have hope in our and belief in our democratic system, which we're losing that faith. As you said, people are so frustrated. But that census, we used the census to create the lines, and that really was supposed to bring people of, you know, common interests, common areas, commonalities. And we ended up, I think, doing a disservice to them and dividing them even more. And so that's my fear. And so moving forward in the redistricting and trying to find the hope or the light at the end of the tunnel, I will tell you that I feel like if everybody bands together and works together, we can flip seats. We're seeing leadership in Salem and Oregon leaving. And I know their frustration, but I think if we could just get enough people to get behind the candidates and help flip the seats, that's how, and it's like our governor race coming up, so important. I think those are our opportunities to regain Oregon. We have to have that voice. And then we have to go in and sign a million executive orders and make, you know, I can't speak for the next governor, right? But that's how we're going to straighten this out. So on a congressional federal level, that person has to work in partnership, like myself, to make those things happen and support candidates, to support new laws, and really get things reversed. And I think, here's the hope, here's that light. There's never been a better time, and there's never been more fraction and division, and people are fired up and they're ready to show up at the polls. So if they feel that way now, look where we're going to be next year. You know, and I think we saw a red wave in November, in my opinion. I think we had a huge red wave and everybody saw that coming. I think you're going to see a tsunami in November. That's my analysis there. We're going to see a real red tsunami, and we're going to take our state back. And all those people who are worried and suffering and frustrated, I hope that they'll find hope in their churches and in their friends, and solace in the fact that we can do this if we work together.
And I absolutely agree with you. And to get people engaged in your campaign, where do they need to go? What kinds of things can they do?
Sure. Well, that list is long. I think everybody has a gift. So some people, you know, they could write a letter to the editor. Some people like to volunteer and make phone calls. I love my volunteers. I have a great group of volunteers. We're going to be door knocking this year. We're going to be going door to door, and we're going to be handing out, you know, out flyers. And we're always asking, of course, for the financial support. So any donation at our website or mail to us is a blessing. And we use it as, I'm a very good steward of our resources and what's given to me. We really do feel it's a gift. So we take that resources and then we put that back into sharing our story and sharing our message and making sure that people know why I'm the right candidate to choose and how I will represent Oregon. I will be, no matter what district I end up in, with, you know, I think there's some legal things happening, and I think it'll be interesting to see where those lines finally lay. But no matter where I stand and which piece of soil I'm standing on, I'm 100% going to D.C. to represent the people of Oregon. And I will.
Great.
I am in contact.
So, and that's great. Amy, what is your website for people to learn more about you and get engaged?
Amy at amyfororegon.com. All of my social media is Amy for Oregon. Thank you so much, Stacy.
Thank you so much, Amy. And next time we'll have a little more time and maybe face to face. Thank you for your time today. Have a wonderful fall weekend. You're listening to
God bless.
Yep, you too. You're listening to Movers and Shakers with Stacy Ann on this Saturday. We'll be back after this.
I like to move it. I like to move it. I like to move it. You like to.
Returning now to more of Movers and Shakers with Stacy Ann.
Hello, movers and shakers and liberty-loving friends. I'm Stacy Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you on this Saturday. And that was a fantastic interview, the first half an hour with Amy Ryan Corser running for Congress. And, you know, it doesn't take long when you're looking at the headlines and you're thinking of mainstream media and you're going, how can this even be possible? And I think over the last 18 months, 2 years, I think there's a part of us that are like, we're real suspect. It's like every time we share something on social media that we know ourselves to be true, and they start putting a fact check or they start blocking it from our personal friends and family, you're like, maybe there's something to this. And so I know people are always, oh, there's conspiracy theories and all of those things about what's going on for years. I mean, we've heard, oh, did we really go to the moon? Did John F. Kennedy really pass away? What about even as lately as the election, and what's happened on January 6th? There's all these kinds of questions, and it makes us wonder, indeed, what's really going on. And so I had an opportunity in July when I was in the Black Hills of South Dakota to go to Freedom Fest. And it was a wonderful conference of liberty-minded individuals coming together, talking at a grassroots level, things that are making an impact, and what can we do in these current times to stand strong in our culture for life and liberty and our freedoms. And I had an opportunity to meet this gentleman, and he's an author. He's had awesome contact with individuals throughout American history, and I want him to come and talk to you all. And I know we're going to talk real fast and get real specific real fast, but let me introduce to you author of American Conspiracies and Cover-Ups, www.freedomandlibertyarenot.com. You can go and find out more. And I hope I know, I hope we say his name right. Douglas Sergano. Is that correct?
Sergano, that's pretty close.
Pretty close.
You.
Douglas, thank you for joining the conversation today. You know, how do you even get in a position where you can connect the dots when it comes to American conspiracies? How did you get interested in that, and kind of give us a little background?
Oh, yeah. Well, I started getting into this stuff like way back in 1979. I started getting underground newspapers that told you what's really going on, you know, behind the scenes, how secret societies are manipulating governments and politics, how, you know, they want to get to Big Brother, and how the central banks like the Federal Reserve are corrupt systems that are no good for the people. And then about 7 or 8 years ago, I started interviewing famous conspiracy theory authors with the idea of breaking into journalism. But then I had so many together, I sent them off to Skyhorse Publishing in New York. They're a big publisher. They publish Jesse Ventura and Roger Stone, and they decided to publish it. My book is a book of interviews with famous conspiracy theory authors. I have Jim Mars on the New World Order, G. Edward Griffin on the Federal Reserve, Noam Chomsky on the media. I have one of Lyndon Johnson's lawyers on the Kennedy assassination. And so, you know, it's a fun book to read, I think, because it's interviews are fun to read. And if you can start connecting these dots, because I think there's a deep state and a shadow government that's manipulating things from behind the scenes. And I think a lot of people are coming to realize that, you know?
Well, I do believe that even in this day and age, that a personal witness and a truth and experience still has value, even though it's trying to be canceled out. We've seen this in Oregon and all across the United States when people say, no, that's not correct. This is really what happened. And they try to tell their story on social media or whatever. It gets kicked off, or their YouTube yeah. interview gets kicked off. And so people don't understand that there is a narrative that is being constructed, or has been for many, many years, to get to the point that we are today. Is that correct from your understanding?
Yes, really. And I think, you know, more and more people are turning to alternative news sources like your show or my book or InfoWars or the Gateway Pundit or Epoch Times. And I think that's good. Like, alternative media is taking off, you know. I heard the New York Times and CNN is dying, you know. And so I think that's good, because we're really getting to the truth of what's happening through these alternative news sources.
Yeah, and that is true. And I remember back in school going through training and learning how to have media literacy, how to take a story and look at all angles and garner the truth for myself through good reasoning, deductive reasoning, and all of those skills. And it seems that has just been washed down the drain, and our students now are being told how to think and how to feel, and work like you're doing in this book, and getting these personal stories really bring to light how important it is that we yeah. dig and we do the research. Tell me, all of these different testimonies, the 12 different ones you talked about, is there a underlying theme, or how they're connected, even they're dealing with different areas that you discovered?
Well, maybe the underlying theme is something, you know, like Donald Trump talked about. He talked about how there's a deep state, you know, and mm-hmm. how the media is fake news. I think there's like a secret society, very powerful, influential men. They meet behind the scenes, and they're manipulating and controlling society and politics from behind the scenes. And maybe all these corruptions or these conspiracies are coming from there. Even with COVID-19, I think COVID-19 is maybe the biggest hoax conspiracy ever. So I think it's all coming from the deep state, and that's maybe the common thing.
Well, and anymore, when you stand strong like you are, gathering these interviews and standing for truth, it's almost you're a bold warrior and strong and courageous to doing so against the deep state folks mm-hmm. that are standing strong and trying to shine a light. Many people yeah. are being bullied or intimidated, and I know for many years there was kind of a running joke, right, out of Arkansas about if you stood against a certain strong family that had a lot of influence in that state for years, you weren't around, right? And so yeah. tell me a little bit about what made you so insistent on getting this information out.
Well, I started receiving a newsletter in 1979 about what's really going on behind the scenes. I got a couple of them. One was the publication of the John Birch Society, which gets a lot of things right, you know. And so mm-hmm. I really believed in the work of these newsletters and even the John Birch Society. And it's becoming more and more, you know, more and more people are finding out about it. And so, you know, there is support, and, you know, at the Freedom Fest and the different media, alternative media outlets, there's a lot of people finding out about this stuff. But I know what you're talking about, things getting censored, because I had 58,000 followers on Twitter, but because I supported Trump and because I wrote that vaccines may be dangerous, Twitter ended my account. They suspended it.
Oh, you got an honorary promotion like so many have, right?
Yeah.
Having a Twitter account. Well, I decided to disband mine on my own before they had that pleasure of doing so. I want to ask you about one of the interviews that you have in your book that you talked about. I thought this was really interesting because we're talking about cancellation and mainstream media. You had an opportunity to interview a famous scholar, in fact, and a professor, Chomsky, right, about mainstream media and the corruption. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. I interviewed, my book is 12 interviews with conspiracy theory authors. I interviewed Professor Noam Chomsky. He's one of the most famous professors in the world, about the media, about how the media is controlled. You know, I think people go to your show or people who are into this stuff, we have this faith that the media can't be trusted. So I wanted to get down to, you know, why can't the media be trusted? And so I talked to him about how the CIA has a lot of influence over the media. There was a church committee back in the 70s, and they concluded the CIA had a lot of influence. They positioned their people throughout the media. That's one way. And another way is the Council on Foreign Relations is a think tank started by the Rockefellers in the 20s. It's a New World Order think tank that wants to get to globalization and whatnot. And so many of the media outlets are run by people who work for the Council on Foreign Relations. So maybe that's two main reasons why the media can't be trusted. It's being manipulated from behind the scenes. I think it's really, really disgusting if you watch the media, how they get so much stuff wrong. Another thing is the pharmaceutical industries have so much influence, and that's why we don't hear about natural treatments for COVID-19, why we don't hear about the dangers of vaccines. And Noam Chomsky, he knows a lot about that, and it's a pretty good interview I did with him. He's a famous professor.
Well, I think that's pretty incredible that you had an opportunity to get an audience with these folks and get their testimony and put this all together and get it published. I think it's a great resource for us to get our hands on and be able to share the information in our circles. And that's really what this show is about, Douglas, is Movers and Shakers, is equipping ourselves, being empowered to influence those in our families, in our work areas, in our areas. Influence with the facts and with truth, and help people, spur them to think for themselves, not just take the mainstream media pablum in a sense and move forward. And most folks that I've run into that will have a differing opinion than I do on many of these issues can do talking points off of the mainstream media. But once you start questioning about that, they don't know why they say what they say. And we want to be better than that. We want to know why we say what we say. And we've heard throughout these years since John F. Kennedy has passed away, we've heard all kinds of conspiracies about his death and the assassination, and even about the 911 and how people are weaponizing the IRS to bully folks into complying. And now we're using the health departments through the government. And talk to us a little bit about what other things you've discovered through some of these other interviews.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did an interview with a guy who was Lyndon Johnson's lawyer about the Kennedy assassination. He said Johnson might have organized Kennedy's assassination. I think it was more the deep state, but I think Johnson had something to do with it, you know, Kennedy's vice president. But that was an interesting interview. I interviewed the foremost expert on 9/11. The idea of 9/11 was an inside job, David Ray Griffin. He's actually getting pretty old. I think he's 85. He broke his hip. So that might have been one of the last interviews with him. So a lot of good information there about how the government's not telling the truth about 9/11. And I did one about how vaccines can be bad, you know, how even the AIDS virus probably came from vaccines. So this is an example of what you're talking about. The media doesn't tell us the truth. I mean, there's a lot of people reporting that they're injured by the COVID vaccine. Why doesn't the media tell us that? You don't hear anything about that. So I did an interview on that, too. And I got 12 interviews altogether. G. Edward Griffin on the Federal Reserve, he's pretty well known to people. I got an interview with him. So I got 12 of them, and there's a lot of good information in there, I think.
Well, and the influence, it makes you wonder. You probably heard the analogy of shaking up the ant jar and the red ants and the black ants, you know, going at it and realizing, hey, who's shaking the jar here, right? And taking a helicopter view of understanding what's really at play here and how does that affect our day-to-day life. And you're more of a grass tops, you know, getting these interviews and more of a big helicopter view, but it trickles down or it, where it should be trickling up from the grassroots, you know, up to these high positions. And the bullying and the fear factor, right? A lot of it is fear trying to control us. And Douglas, the last I understand in American history in general, reading the Constitution, reading our founding fathers, they really wanted us to think for ourselves and be empowered and have that liberty. And they reminded us too that our rights did not come from the government. They come from God, our creator, right? We're going to continue the conversation after this, Douglas. I want folks to be, when we come back from this, I want them to learn a little more about how they can get in touch with you and get the book. And I have a few more questions for you when we come back. You're listening to Movers and Shakers with Stacy Ann right here on Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Thank you for tuning in today, friends. I want to remind you, you can go to our website, kslm.news, find the podcast, Movers and Shakers with Stacy Ann, and grab this link and share it with your friends and family today. We'll be back right after this.
I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. Yeah, I like to.
Returning now to more of Movers and Shakers with Stacy Ann.
Hello, liberty-loving friends. I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Movers and Shakers with Stacy Ann. And I'm telling you, we are having a great discussion today. And friends, you know, where we're at in our culture today, it's almost imperative that we take a stand, that we be empowered, that we have the knowledge so that we can be equipped in a conversation to tell people, give a reason for why we believe in what we believe, and give examples as well. That's how we persuade the persuadables. And so it's really important that we do so. I want to say for a moment real quick, I want to say thank you to Rebecca Donaldson. She is a real estate, licensed real estate broker, and she is not only licensed in our area in the Willamette Valley, but she is the best of the Willamette Valley. And if you're thinking about moving, you're thinking about buying something for the first time, I'd encourage you to give her a call, 503-269-0747, the expert you can trust, or you can go to rebeccasgothouses.com. Continuing the conversation, and before we get started, Douglas, I want to let our listeners know, I got a text message from Satya, who is used to be the head of the school board in our town of Salem at the Salem Kaiser School Board, and they are having a meeting, a very strategic meeting this Tuesday. And of course, we had an election last spring, and many leftists got on the board, and we have a few conservatives on the school board, and they are trying to do a resolution, and it's going to be an interesting school board. And I want to rally up, and here's an opportunity to get engaged. October 12th school board meeting. Let's support our conservative candidates, or actually their representatives now, they've been voted in, and be present and let everybody that you know get involved. And I'll put a link on our Facebook page, KSLM Radio, where you can find out more. As we continue the conversation, we're talking about American conspiracies and cover-ups. We've got Douglas here with me, the author. And Douglas, you know, the conspiracy thing is really ramped up, I know, in my mind over the last couple of years between the COVID and the voter integrity issues. You had an opportunity to talk to Bev Harris about fraud and voter fraud and tampering. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. Bev Harris, she was considered one of the leading experts on how elections can be stolen. She was on TV a lot back in like 2010, 2008. She was on CNN, MSNBC. They did a documentary about her life on HBO. I don't see her around that much anymore. I have a feeling the mainstream media probably thought she, you know, was too on to how elections can be rigged, and they don't want that on the mainstream media. But I would like to see what she says about Trump versus Biden, because I think there was a lot of fraud there. Her book is called Black Box Voting. I talked about how the Bushes stole stole the election, George. But you know, I'm a conservative Republican. But I think just because you're a Republican doesn't mean you're not corrupt. I think the Bushes are corrupt. There's better Republicans than them. I talked about how they stole the election, and there was the company back then was Diebold, and that company was run by some criminals, guys who got out of prison, and they were counting our votes. And then Diebold was bought by Dominion, and Dominion is the company that counted the votes with Trump versus Biden. This corrupt company that's run by criminals that's been accused so many times of rigging votes, and that's the company that counted the votes with Trump versus Biden. I think sometimes the voting machines, they steal it for the Democrat, sometimes they steal it for the Republican. Whoever's closest to the deep state gets to get in, I think. But
I think you're onto something there, because again, in my personal experience, when I look down, I believe, you know, my faith experience, that when God looks down, he doesn't look for a Republican or Democrat, he looks for someone who lines up with his values. And having sat personally in July to listen to Sidney Powell talk about, look, there's problems on both, in both parties, because of this deep state, and that there is a control, there's someone at the control that, as you said, the person who lines up most with, and that's what was such a shock about Trump winning in 2016, in my opinion, is that it came out of left field. They thought they had it all set. They thought they had the stage set. And didn't count on is the momentum of everyday people saying, we've had enough, we need to get engaged in this process. And he was of the people. He certainly was not a politician.
Yeah, I know.
So what a great riveting example of an interview that you had a chance to get a hold of. How do people order your book, and what are you working on currently? Do you do any kind of podcasting where people can tune in regularly? Talk to us a little bit about what you're up to.
No, but my website is AmericanConspiriesAndCoverUps.com. You got to put a slash between cover and ups. I think it's a good website, and then you go get to Amazon for a book. I do want to write another book. I didn't know if I was going to, but then I want to write a book about three things, more than that, but one, that that Biden stole the election; two, that January 6th was probably instigated, the attack on the Capitol was instigated by the deep state, probably the FBI. There's evidence about that now. And also about the biggest hoax conspiracy ever, COVID-19. I think when those three things happened, I said, I got to write another book, you know?
Well, and I think that's incredible, the momentum that you have with this book, people getting familiar with your work, and the way that you're grabbing these interviews, and people, you know, they have their eyewitness and their own experience. You can't debate that, right? You can try to cancel it, but it's out there. I appreciate your hard work and what you're doing. Are you available to speak for other people that maybe have podcasts or shows? How do they get a hold of you? Through your website?
Oh, yeah, or my email is DouglasSergnano@gmail.com. It's just my name @gmail.com, yeah. So, I'm doing other podcasts, yes.
I'll put the link up so our listeners can get in connected to you to get the book,
get
the information from you as well. I appreciate all of your hard work. You know, one of the things that I'm reminded of by listening to you talk about these things is that I'm in broadcasting from South Dakota, and some of my liberty-loving friends right now here in South Dakota, even though our Kristi Noem is a beloved, during the pandemic, a beloved governor, their liberty-loving friends are saying, hey, some of her stuff doesn't even line up, you know? And so when you talk about it, it's not necessarily a Republican or Democrat thing. This is about following the Constitution, standing for liberty and freedom, and doing the right thing, even when it's hard. Yeah. Right, Douglas?
Really, really. I thought Trump was doing great things. It was such a great political movement, that maybe the greatest in America. He had millions of people show up in Washington when he had a... I hope maybe if we can fix it so they can't rig votes, maybe Trump can get back in there. I think he's a man for the people. He's got faults, but it was a great political movement he had.
Yes, a movement of the people and for the people, for the normal people that are working hard every day, fighting for their liberty and their pursuit of happiness. Well, I appreciate your time with me today. Thank you so very much. Again, give us your website one more time.
AmericanConspiriesAndCoverUps.com. You have to put a slash between cover and ups. Thank you very much for having me. It was great talking to you.
Well, I appreciate you and trust that you'll have a fantastic fall weekend, and let's stay in touch, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much, friends, for tuning in today. We've had a great morning with some lively discussion about what's going on. And I know it's important that we stay grounded in facts and just in our toolbox, that we have information that empowers us with news that we can use. And that's what it's really about. And I want to encourage you to go to our website, KSLM.news. Make sure to follow us on Facebook at KSLM Radio. Stay plugged in. Get involved with campaigns. Really pray about what can you do right in your own neighborhood to make a difference for liberty and freedom and the pursuit of happiness. I'm Stacey Ann. Looking forward to talking to you next time. And be sure to go to KSLM Radio. Find that podcast. Even in the midweek, you might see a podcast from me remotely from the Black Hills. Have a great day, friends. Thanks for tuning in.